Blog Talk Radio.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong.
Photos for our show tonight, and I'm just going to describe them to you. The first photo is a collage of 30 Americans, 22 Navy SEALs, and 8 other service members all died in an ambush in Afghanistan, and it was covered up by the media. They covered it up with two words, chopper crash. 3 days ago, 5 NATO troops were killed in Afghanistan. They were either ambushed or backshot or in a firefight. And lately, there's a lot of back shooting. Now, Obama has changed the classification of dead Americans to NATO troops. I guarantee you, 5 are Americans. And they're coming home to the United States. To the Dover Air Force Base. Since Obama has a casualty count in Afghanistan of 2,000 plus the Navy SEAL Team 6 that he lost, all the casualties have been classified as NATO troops. So I just wanted to, if you want to see what those guys look like, if you want to see the pride of the nation, if you want to see the best of the best, take a look at that photo. It's a collage of 30 faces. They're all gone. And somebody screwed up or sold them out. Anyway, in the next photo is a girl at a gravesite, probably of her father. And she's hugging the tombstone. In the next picture, and there's one I tried to find to put it up, but I couldn't, is two GIs are dragging a dead or wounded GI off the battlefield under fire. The next picture is a little girl. She's probably about 7 or 8 years old. And an army officer is kneeling in front of her, and he's handing her her father's flag. And behind her, it looks like, is her grandfather and maybe her mother. And you got to see the expression on the little girl's face. There is one of a Marine officer handing a flag to about an 8-year-old or 9-year-old boy. He's got a suit on. He looks like a little man. And they're giving him his father's flag. And he's fighting back the tears as he stands at attention. You got to see that one. So I just thought I'd mention that to you. And the big news tonight is that people are outraged that the Gitmo detainees are being tortured with music. So I thought I would give you my top 10 suggestions for Gitmo torture songs. Starting with number 10, I'd like to buy the world a Coke and teach it harmony. 9, It's a Small World from Disney. 8, Home on the Range by Gene Autry. 7, Getting to Know You, I think that's from My Fair Lady. 6, A Baby's Feeding Cry for Milk, 7 hours long. 5, Take Me Out to the Ball Game in Hebrew. 4, Tiptoe Through the Tulips by Tiny Tim. 3, If I Were a Rich Man from Fiddler on the Roof. 2, The Rumble Theme from West Side Story. 1, Slim Whitman Sings a Rosemary. Or, if you need an alternate, YMCA by the Village People. We also have the Abu Ghraib song, where the Al-Qaeda and Republican Guard prisoners were forced to strip for a class action pyramid photo taken from the rear. And if you see that photo, you can probably Google it and you'll see it. The second, if you look at the second row, the third guy from the left, from behind, he looks just like Chuck Schumer. And, of course, the song is Stuck in the Middle with You. So welcome to the Spirit of America party, and we'll read some blogs, and we'll give you some music, and we will try and make your day. If you had a bad one, we will cry with you. If you had a good one, we'll celebrate with you. If you got a job, we'll celebrate with you. And if you're just returning from the battlefield, we'll welcome you home.
Oh,
mornings watching Fox today. It's the only network I watch. I don't even go down below in my area. In New Jersey, it's 26. I don't go. I may go to 25 to see CNN telling lies, but I stick to Fox. It's 26. In New York, it's 118, and I'll go to 117 because I love the Fox Business channel. And I may go. I may go down to NBC, but I get tired of wiping the spit off the TV screen. Yeah, so I stick with Fox because Fox knows everything, and Fox tells the truth. Last night I'm listening to Savage, and he threw out the subject, Bring Back the Draft. Bring Back the Draft. There was a draft in NAM, and one of the biggest complaints were all the poor guys were getting drafted and all the rich guys were getting college exemptions. And those are the ones who vote to burn the flag today. All the Harvard graduates who won't let you see Obama's record because every other word is a communist. Islamo, a communist. A shout out to Jimmy from Brooklyn. I was hoping he would call because I want to learn more about communism and how it works and what tactics they use. But there was one episode on Fox today about a Chinese girl who was working two jobs and going to school, and she was an honor student, and she was going to school to support her brother and sister. Now, I don't know all the details, but that's what was fed out on the airwaves. And because she had 10 absentee days from school, she was arrested and brought to trial, and a judge sentenced her to one day in jail, saying he couldn't make an exemption for her because then he would have to make exemptions for others. Which is nice. It's nice to have a rule. But sometimes you have to break a rule. Anyway, I just thought about that Chinese girl working two jobs to feed her brother and sister. And I got to say that one of the greatest communities in the United States is the Chinese community. They are one cut above a lot of others. They really are. You never hear them complain. You never hear them whine. You never hear them sticking their hands out. They are industrious people, hardworking people. This girl is working two jobs to take care of her brother and sister. Okay. She wasn't looking for any free shit. S-H-E-T. Not allowed to use vulgarity. And when was the last time you picked up the paper and it said a gang of men held one maid hostage and repeatedly raped her, and everybody said, I bet they were Chinese. So a salute to the Chinese communities all over the United States. And don't tell me they had it easy. Yeah, they were the right color. They spoke English, huh? Who cut their pigtails off? Tell me how easy they had it. How many were thrown aside on building the railroad? Yep. Thank you, Chinese, for what you've done. And without you, a lot of us would not have lobster Cantonese tonight. God bless you, and stay American, whatever you do. So, having said that, the subject came up on Savage about bring back the draft. And during NAM, there was a draft, and the complaint was that all the poor people are getting drafted, and guys like Chris Matthews from NBC could escape through the Peace Corps for the elites, and he hid out in Swaziland. As a matter of fact, while guys were dying in rice paddies or looking for the other half of their buddy's body to bring it back for burial, Chris was getting decorated by Jimmy Carter for his guacamole dip. And President Clinton got a Jimmy Carter pardon for being a draft dodger. But now he's a big success. He's worth $170 million, and he gave us the greatest economy, and he also gave us free funerals a la 9-1-1, which he built over 8 years. He built our coffins over 8 years. And the way he did it was not getting involved. He was the president that didn't get involved, wouldn't get involved in Rwanda, wouldn't call it a Holocaust, wouldn't call it ethnic cleansing, wouldn't call it a genocide, because it hadn't reached a million. You have to have a million dead before you can say genocide. Yes, he was a success, and everybody loves him today. They all swear by him. They look the other way when somebody says, "Did you know he masturbated in the sink?" They don't want to hear that. Yeah, and he got harmonica lessons, and he was faithful to his wife. Yeah, they don't want to hear that. And they don't like it when kindergarten kids call him President Pinocchio Pants. But that's who gave us 9-1-1, in case you had any doubts. He gave us all those dead people, plus dead yet to come. 3,000, it was 3,245 on 9-1-1. And then you got to add, I think, about 4,500 in Iraq. And you got to add at least 2,000 in Afghanistan, 2,500 in Afghanistan. So we're up to around 10,000, and the shit is still going on. And watch the run out in Afghanistan and see how many GIs get back shot on the way out. And already, I'll tell you right now, all of the press, all of the bigwigs in the Pentagon, the Pentagonians, will all have, they're making up their pat answers now on how it's not their fault that the casualty list got so high. So anyway, this Vietnam thing was really sad. We lost 58,000 guys. Guys came back with drug problems because chemical warfare is part of fighting communism. And by giving the best heroin, the top quality, the finest heroin that they could make in China, from the opium crops and the poppies, they made sure that American fighting men got only the best heroin, opium, weed, to destroy their ability to fight. And back home, they were sucking it like it was, like they used to say when, there's a straw in the Coke, they were talking about the cola. Not anymore. We are a nation of junkies, and I'll talk to you about that in a little while, but I want to stick to bring back the draft. And in Chapter 8 in my book, that is my title, Bring Back the Draft, and I have a tune that I play called Americano. You know, he drives a Jeep, but he's not in the Army, gets all his cigarette money from his mommy. And I have a picture of a Marine that has gone back into Fallujah for the second time because the politicians, after he had lost his crew, he had to go back in and do it all over again because the politicians gave Al-Qaeda the city of Fallujah back after the Marines took half of it. And they negotiated, and the negotiations fell through, and we buried some bodies, American bodies, and then somebody said, well, the negotiations fell through, we have to do it again. They should have taken that guy, they should have tied him to the first burn buster and let him go in first with a camera so he could film all of the artillery that was coming his way. So I got a picture of this guy, and he's got a cigarette in his mouth, and he's got a cut nose, and he's got all kinds of soot all over his eyes and face. And he's just come out of a firefight, and he's exhausted. He's taking a break. And I have a caption underneath that says, "Did you know if you're a government employee, you could be fired for smoking?" He fights your battles and you cry about secondhand smoke. Why should he only die for thee? he does not get his cigarette money from his mommy. What happened to A Pluri Wazunum? If you never served, you never served. And if it was up to me, you'd only get 1/8 of a vote. Now take that dress off and get out of the lifeboat, Titanic man. Nobody wants the draft, especially the military. Who wants to hear crybabies cry 24 hours a day? Who wants to listen to the why and where questions? Why do we have to? Why me? Where is my mommy? They don't want to witness mind fragmentation again. Besides, the media will scream outrage when their 1.0 child is drafted. And speaking of children, I was asked tonight to mention the fact that they're going to pass an anti-abortion law that discriminates against women. And the anti-abortion law that they want to pass that discriminates against women is sex selection abortion, where you wanted a boy and you're getting a girl and you say, kill the girl. And my friend wants to know why women are doing that to other women. So nobody wants the draft, especially the military. Cowards will pretend they are opposed to the war because they're in it. Who wants to send flag burners for more ammo? And the higher the college grads, the better to climb the Hindu Kush. My version of the draft is everybody goes, no excuses. If you got one leg, you go into the one leg platoon. If you're overweight, you go into the fat man's platoon. Nobody gets out. If you're strange, you go into the strange platoon. We can't save the potheads and communist AIDS carriers of the 60s, the unwashed, but we can begin a future generations fund. And the one great reason to begin the draft is to get ready for war, which none of us want, but neither did those who went before us. And why bring back the draft? It brings us together as a nation. It gives us a sense of pride and esprit de corps. It takes us out of our environment for the big look. You will never be in better physical shape. It teaches teamwork and respect for each other. It matures a person rapidly. You get to serve your country. It is the best place to start the American journey. It helps you focus on your future. And everybody should serve their country once. That's 10 reasons. And 11, everybody gets to wear the same underwear. It's an old joke. But what is not funny is to see people using Americans and dividing Americans for political benefit, rubbing salt in old wounds to create a problem only they can solve after creating something out of nothing. In my neighborhood, 26 was the average age the Selective Service called you to serve your country. That's because most guys pushed up their draft call at 18 rather than have their life be interrupted at 26. Everybody got called. No one escaped the draft. Uncle Sam was an equal opportunity employer. So rich and poor, black and white, Jew and Gentile all got the draft notice. And when we got to basic training, we bunked with guys fresh off the boat from South America, Ireland, Germany, Hungary. Welcome to the United States, Andor, Jose, Patrick, and Carl. Here's your draft notice. Come serve your country. No waiting for citizenship. It is now automatic. And I was with a guy who was German who had just came to the United States, and he got a draft notice, and after basic training, he got shipped back to Germany. So guys of 18 from New York mingled with college graduates and businessmen of 26 from Chicago. Guys from Louisiana and Detroit compared notes and learned from each other. They learned about each other's cultures, destroyed myths and old prejudices, and learned to find common ground to bond together. They learned not to be me first people. They learned to take the breaks without going wussy. They also learned they could achieve the achievable and had the ability to go the extra mile just when they thought that they could not go any further. They learned the team is everything and the individual is only as good as the team. I'm calling you from a barn with a payphone. This is what makes the spirit of America. Vive la différence. Eric, they're killing me with this thing. Hold on 1 second. Somebody must have put a virus in my internet, in my computer. I got cow moves. Where were we? They learn the team is everything and the individual is only as good as the team. And that's what makes the spirit of America. Vive la différence. When we allow special interest people with special self-serving agendas to change our world, we lose. There should be no lobbyists or special favor seekers in Washington. One man, one vote for the good of all. Back to the draft. We cannot entrust a job so serious as protecting this nation to a few good men and women. Every young American should contribute at least 1 year to military service. Years later, when you look back on your patriotic contribution to this nation, you can proudly say, you called America, I answered the draft for all. No special treatment for any American. No political influence. Run this game plan and watch the change in the national attitude. Witness the disintegration of the American wuss. So, having said that, let me give you a tune, and I'll set up for the next blog. Hang in there 1 second.
Porque está.
you know there are 14 guys named Gomez who all died for us? When you talk about Latinos and when the Democrats play the Latino card against the gringos, that don't work. That don't fly. Not with me. Sorry. Sorry. I'm Latino friendly. I like the music. I like the women. The men are a little ugly, but there's nothing I can do about that. I've had good experiences. They are good people. And a Puerto Rican taught me how to drive. We were in high school together, and he got his brother's 55 Oldsmobile that was loaded. And he took me up to the Bronx where we were going to take the test. And he taught me how to drive. And he was with me when I took the test. So he did me a solid. And his name was Charlie Bermudez. And he was a good guy. And his favorite band was Tito Puente. They used to call him TP. So when Obama plays the All the Latinos Are in My Camp card, no, they're not. No, they're not. You want to know why? Because many of them are Catholic, and many of them are family people. So, and there's two things that Obama hates, is Catholics and people who are having babies, having all the babies. But I'm going to talk to you about Obama and his shafting of the Memorial Day ceremony the following day. He must have thrown up for at least a half hour after having to say patriotic things on Memorial Day. So to get even, he decided to give out 11 medals to John Glenn, to a Latino communist. But the one that got me, and then he's in trouble with the Poles because he gave a medal to a Polish guy, and then he accused the Poles of running concentration camps. He doesn't know American history, and he doesn't know geography. This guy, first off, he thinks he was born in Hawaii. Yeah, well, you know what I'm saying. So he gave me bad vibes right after Memorial Day. I was feeling good. I had drained my soul. I had shed some tears. I was rejuvenating my patriotic feeling. And then he comes out the next day and says, I got something better than that Memorial Day crap. Wait till you see the 11 people that I'm giving free shit to. Some of them deserved it. Some of them were very good people. And John Glenn, I'm not sure about. I'm not sure about John Glenn. I used to look up to astronauts, but then when Bill Nelson voted to kill kids, I realized that not all astronauts are the same. As a matter of fact, Bill Nelson, his title astronaut is spelled with two S's. And he was the first one to fly into Damascus, Syria, to warm up the seat for Nancy Pelosi. So when she came in with 41 demo camos to lick the ankles of Bashar al-Assad, the only thing she had to ask was that he close the palace windows so she didn't have to listen to the Americans screaming down the street who were having their legs blown off with the new Iranian copper lug IEDs that Bashar was distributing into Iraq. The same Bashar that killed the Prime Minister of Lebanon with a big, big bomb. Yes, and the Democrats love him, and that's why he's still in power. That's another blog which I should probably run across, and I'll read it to you tonight. But I want to tell you about my bad vibes from yesterday. Bad vibes today. Dylan's tune, Times Are A-Changing, is playing. A 24-year-old is taking his first heroin hit in a New York City park. He ODs. His junkie friends strip him down and keep him walking. They give up and run from the scene. The cops arrive. Some people say the cops let him die. His father, a recovering alcoholic, dry for 8 years, identifies his only son at the morgue. It won't be long before Dad goes back on the booze. At the wake, his junkie friends show up stoned to see what a dead guy looks like. His mother, a saint, knows nothing of the seedy world of drugs. Later, she will be addicted to a sedative that she will use the rest of her life. And when she tries to withdraw from it, the doctor says if she withdraws, she will die. So you see how one junkie can kill a bunch of people? Yes, times are changing, and it started with that generation. That is when we lost our country. Now we have 2 to 3 generations of junkies. 1 out of 5 Americans is a junkie. One junkie destroys the happiness of 5 innocent people. 90% of all crimes are drug-related. Churches are replaced with rehab centers. Methadone worship. Now we're up to Oxy. I liked the Memorial Day tribute. I flashed back to Nam. The VC used the best drugs to win the war. You could call it chemical warfare. Our border is opened, and not to let Mexicans in to pick crops, but to let the drugs in to destroy human crops. The good news for the economy is that very soon our government will be taxing your weed. The dealers will tell you that weed is harmless, but I must tell you, all who ever OD'd started with weed. Rest in peace, young brother. He sleeps with his parents. They joined him 60 years later. Drugs Suck is chapter 1 in my book, The Spirit of America Party. The cover has an eagle on it, and it says, "Take me to the beach." The Spirit of America Party. Hang in there. I'll give you a tune. Obama, this one is for you.
There may be trouble ahead, but while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Before the fiddlers have fled, before they ask us to pay the bill, and while we still have the chance, let's face the music and dance. Soon we'll be without the moon, humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance. The moon humming a different tune, and then there may be teardrops to shed. So while there's moonlight and music and love and romance, let's face the music and dance. Let's face the music and dance.
You know that Obama is going to make a movie, I Got Bin Laden, right? And they're casting now for it. And they're trying to get the who's going to play Bin Laden, who takes out Bin Laden. I mean, who's going to play Obama, who takes out Bin Laden single-handedly. So far, they've come up with two people. One is Justin Bieber, and the other is Pee Wee Herman. Rumsfeld. Oh, before I mention Rumsfeld, let me pay a tribute to a lady that should have got one of those medals yesterday, who never abandoned the troops, who never left them to die on the battlefield, was always there for them during the war, before the war, and after the war. And that's Anne Margaret, Lady Anne Margaret. God bless her. I think I read that she's got a myasthenia gravis, which is a debilitating disease. But I got to tell you, 3 million Americans are in love with her, and they're all fighting men. And she never sold the country out. But look who we worship, Jane Fonda. Jane Fonda, who betrayed prisoners in Hanoi, who betrayed all of the guys who fought in the war, who stabbed them in the back every chance she got. And she is the media hero. Do you know that there is a spittoon that's named after her? It's called the Hock Tui. But Anne Margaret is a saint and a great lady. And I hope one day somebody pays tribute to her sacrifice for her boys, as she called them, her men. God bless her. And there's stories. If you check it out on the internet, you'll see that there are people that will tell you how great she was. So having said that, I noticed that Donald Rumsfeld is out on the talk shows. And I just want to say one thing about Donald Rumsfeld. The more and more I see Bush getting closer to Clinton, the more sickening I become. And the more sick I become. And I got to say, I have to pay a tribute to the Donald Rumsfeld. Because with the tools he was given, he did the best that he could. And he was loyal to the nth degree. And I believe that in baseball, if a pitcher pitches seven innings and is relieved, he gets credit for the win if the team wins. And I believe that Donald Rumsfeld should get credit for the win in the Gulf War. And I'll never forget that bastard Ted Kennedy is sitting up high on his big ass, looking down at Rumsfeld at a hearing and saying, "Isn't it time you resigned?" And you know what? I'm so glad that he's in boiler number three, working very hard. And Rumsfeld said, "I serve at the pleasure of the president. And when he tells me to go, I will go." And the president put his arm around Rumsfeld at Christmas time and said, "This man will be with me to the end." And about a week later, he gave him the shaft, threw him under the bus. And for this, I lost a lot of respect for President Bush, who I defended. If you get my book, The Spirit of America Party, I defended him day and night. But a couple of things I seen I didn't like. Bush should have got Bin Laden. And I didn't like it when they said that it wasn't important to get Bin Laden. I wanted to see Bush riding out of the Hindu Kush with a dead Bin Laden draped over the handlebars of his bicycle. And that's another thing that bothered me. He never rode a horse. He only rode a bicycle. When you hear what Rumsfeld is saying, he predicts that Israel may have no other choice but to attack the Islamic Republic's nuclear facilities and lays out options for the U.S. in serious bloody conflict. If Obama was brave enough to take out a cripple, Muammar Gaddafi, who had no legs or arms, because Ronald Reagan put one bomb in his tent and he was quiet for 20 years. And when Bush went into Iraq, Gaddafi immediately gave up his nuclear weapons program. So you see, there were no weapons in Iraq, but we got Gaddafi to give up his nuclear weapons without even having to go there. So Obama, the brave, decides he'll look good if he knocks off Libya for the French and the British and the Italians, who are all going to get oil contracts. But we're not getting any oil contracts. As a matter of fact, the reason the price of oil is down so low as it is today is because somebody leaked oil. We had an oil spill in North Dakota. And it was oil spill news that we've got more oil than Saudi Arabia. And that's why the price is coming down. Just on the rumor, this price has come down.
Obama's going to take credit for it. I got the price down. How did you do it? Huh? How'd you do it?
He has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea. He just does what people tell him to do, and he hopes for the best. And he reads good cue cards. Sorry, he's gone. He's toast. If he's still there for four more years, you better start learning how to march in parades with red banners and hammers and sickles. So, having said that, thank you, Anne Margaret. Let me find the tune that graces your beauty. I will find something for you. Here you go, Anne. This is for you, baby.
Yeah, we're rolling.
Okay.
Quiet, boys. Hey, Charlie.
Just you know why. Why you and I will by and by no true love wine. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry, and we'll know why. Just you and I know true love wine. The day our true love will bring us joys to share with those who really care. Sometimes we'll sigh, sometimes we'll cry. No true love wine.
Okay, looks like we've got 7 minutes left. Mayor Bloomberg today is upset because he can't fire pedophiles in the New York City school system. They're protected by the union. Now, I want you to think about something. You know this Catholic school, a pedophile priest scandal? Think about this. What percentage do you think in the Catholic Church are pedophile priests? Seriously, what do you think it is? 10%? 20%? 30%? 4%? 5%? Think about it and be honest. Now, whatever that percentage figure that you come up with, ask yourself, what's the percentage in the public school system? Less? Are you going to tell me it's less? Is it more? Is it twice as much? How come nobody's looking? And here's something else, all you Catholics out there, to think about. There's a scandal that is breaking that might be over-exaggerated, or it could be the tip of the iceberg. And it has to do with the Pope's butler. Now, isn't it ironic that this scandal is breaking and the media is running with it like Moses had 10 wives? The media is running with it at this time, and they're going to add to it every Catholic scandal they can recall or announce as new findings, and it's going to be hot and heavy, and some of it's going to be true and some of it's going to be false. But you have to ask yourself, why now? Why now? Is it because of 41 universities and Catholic institutions stood up to Osama bin Laden and his jihad against the Catholic Church? Think about that. And watch, if as it arises and as this thing boils up and over, just keep that in the back of your mind. Why now? What is the real goal? And you'll get a little bit of insight into how communists work and how devious and clever they are. They can poison your tea in a luncheonette in London with plutonium. They can get a pope shot at and make it look like a Muslim did it. They may even have taken out the president of the United States. Nah, impossible. Never can happen. Happens all the time. Never forget, when the communists win, they win. And when they lose, they win. Because they structure the game. You think about that. And then look at that president up there that's reading the cue cards and doesn't know geography and doesn't know American history. But he's a Harvard lawyer. But you can't see his records. So let me run to another tune, and then we'll close with maybe a prayer for the troops. Wouldn't that be nice? You won't stick around for the prayer? What, you could not watch 1 hour with me? Yeah, we got a tune. Let's see how much time we got. We got 2:42 left. Let me see. Tickle, trickle, trickle, 2:22. Trip, 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 trip. Trick, trickle, splash, splash. Tell me how long will this rain last? The rain keeps dropping, there ain't no stopping. Tell me how long will this rain last? Trick, trickle, slop, slop. Just got to see my feet don't drop. She's there waiting and I'm hesitating. Tell me just when the rain will stop. Run and dig my clothes. closing, and we're going to close with a small prayer, four-sentence prayer for the troops all over the world whose lives are on the line tonight, who are fighting to save us from damnation and fight us from to save us from domination by our enemies. So I'll give you the Latin first. O salutaris hostia quae celi pandis hostium, bella premunt hostilia da roba fer auxilium. And in English it is, O saving victim, opening wide the gates of heaven to us below. Our foes press in on every side. Your aid supply, your strength bestow. Pange lingua, baby. And to all you priests and nuns out there thinking of throwing a towel in, we need you more than ever. Hang in there.